Say hey.
Say who?
Swinging at the plate. Say hey.
Say who?
Say Willie. That giant kid is great.
When the Willie Mays song. People around the country, around the world for that matter, reflecting on the passing of the great Willie Mays at age 93. And joining us, a pirate for life, Steve Blass. Steve, when I heard of Willie's passing last night, I thought, who would be the number one person I want to talk to? It's you, because, you know, your career, you would be someone that could really reflect on what Willie Mays meant to baseball and beyond.
Absolutely, Larry. He was so special. He was kind of the face of the game, starting when he was such a great player for the Giants in New York and then San Francisco. But you talk about five tools when you talk about the great players. And it's hard for me not to put Willie Mays in the top three, at least, because the tools are hitting for average, hitting for power, speed, and then fielding and throwing. You know, many of your power hitters really couldn't do much in terms of defense or speed, but Willie Mays did it all. And the personality of this guy, he was bigger than life. You know, I grew up in Connecticut, so we were close enough to New York to get all the reports and the accolades of Willie Mays, but he was dynamic. He's one of those guys, like Clemente in Pittsburgh, that you couldn't take your eyes off when you're watching him. He was unbelievable to watch. And I had a chance to be in Connecticut, you know, growing up, and then having to face him. I remember the first time I faced him. You know, there were two concerns for me, Larry. First of all, I was wondering if I still had his bubblegum card in my back pocket, and then how do I throw strikes when I'm wetting my pants at the same time? So that all happened at Candlestick Park, and I threw a good slider to him. He bounced the ball wide at first, and I was so proud of myself that he didn't hit it into Candlestick Bay that I never broke over and cover first base on the ground ball. So that was my first action of pitching against him. But then I pitched against him later on. But he was just one of the real faces of baseball. And, you know, when you talk about the great players, I've got to select top three. I've got Babe Ruth, Henry Aaron, and Willie Mays. You can win with those guys, I think.
Steve, Paul Rasmussen here. This man was born in Westfield, Alabama, and played for the Birmingham Black Barons in the Negro League back in 1948 before he went on to play Major League Baseball. He was the second player to come into Major League Baseball behind Jackie Robinson. So not only was he a trailblazer in terms of his performance on the field, but he was also a leader in another big way.
Yeah. You know, a black guy coming north and the segregation issues that still exist to a certain point. And keep in mind, this guy missed his senior year in high school to go play pro ball for that team in Birmingham. So this guy was very quickly cast into adulthood. And with him in the headlines and things, so how difficult was it for him to keep everything together, tolerance included, and do what he did at such an early age? And he was spectacular. I mean, he struggled a little bit for a couple months when he first got called up to the Giants, but Leo DeRocher, the manager, said, "I've got to have this kid." And he didn't struggle for very long, and an amazing thing. And 93 years old, and think about playing in the major leagues 23 years, pretty much healthy all those times. All the the silver sluggers and the stolen bases and all the whole package of Willie Mays, including personality. Here's a guy that played stickball in the streets of New York before he went to the ballpark to play a major league game. I mean, how great was Willie Mays? Well, as great as you can be.
And with the people that knew him, like yourself, as players, that's one thing. What did you hear about Willie Mays, the man, off the field?
Well, he had the personality, and I don't think he ever elevated himself because of what he did above anybody else. But, yeah, having time for the kids, he was he was just the boy. He was just young all the time. I don't care how he aged, but he was young all the time, and that personality shone through. But I do have a personal story as I was growing up, because I was a great Cleveland Indians fan. And in 1954, they won 111 games, and that was a 154 season. And they were expected to sweep the Giants, the New York Giants, in the World Series. Willie Mays made the catch in the history of baseball against my power hitter, Vic Wirtz, and I think one of the early games, the second game, with his back to home plate. It's a famous catch. We've all seen it. But he broke my heart, because the Indians were so powerful. They were supposed to just destroy the Giants, and they got swept four games. And I hold Willie personally responsible for that.
Well, Steve, always appreciate your input, partner. Thank you for jumping on with us this morning.
My pleasure, Larry. And just don't lose track of the fact that when Clemente got his 3,000th hit in between innings after that event, Willie was with the Mets and came across from one dugout of the Mets to be with Roberto Clemente. Kind of a nice moment that I had to be the pleasure of sitting next to Mays and Clemente at that time.
Wow. Steve, yep. A pirate for life. Thank you, partner.
My pleasure.
Steve Blass.
I just can't help but say that we were just listening from a person who came up big in big moments, just like Willie Mays did.
Steve is, Steve in and of himself.
Inspirational.
For young Pirates fans who don't know the details of Steve's playing career, a lot of them know as a broadcaster, Steve's pretty incredible and just a good guy who made Pittsburgh his home, obviously, and appreciate him reflecting on the passing of Willie Mays. Yeah, so for a long time.
Very long.
We've been around a few semesters. Yeah, we just heard from Steve Blass, a Pirate for Life, and obviously he had a face-to-face knowledge of Willie Mays. But I just thought I wanted to reach out to you because you're also, along with being a columnist, a baseball enthusiast, you're an aficionado and historian of some sort. The significance of Willie Mays as you see it as a columnist.
Well, you can make a case that he was the best all-around player in the history of the game. Now he may not have been the best player. I still think Babe Ruth or Josh Gibson or Hank Aaron probably would be qualified more as that. But Willie Mays could do more things better than any player in the history of the game. He hit for power. He had 660 home runs. He hit for average. He stole bases. He played Gold Glove defense. He had tremendous instincts, was a great leader for all those years he played for the San Francisco Giants. So when you look at the overall total package of Willie Mays, there's nobody quite like him ever, and again, you can make a case he's the most well-rounded player in baseball history, certainly one of the top five players in the game, and really baseball royalty, and his passing is kind of almost akin in the baseball world as it would be if a former president passed away in the United States.
You kind of get the feel like it's the end of a real era for Major League Baseball with that generation with Willie Mays.
Yeah, you really do. I mean, that's the last vestige of the real superstar type players from the 60s and early 70s. You know, you look, of course, obviously Roberto Clemente. When you look locally at the Pirates, he passed tragically at a very young age. Willie Stargell passed away more than 20 years ago now. Henry Aaron is gone. There aren't too many left, especially from this. Ernie Banks is gone from the 60s and early 70s. And, Willie hung in there to 93, and he would have been in pretty good health until the last year. And from everything I'd understood talking to people when the Giants were here in Pittsburgh last month was that he wasn't doing really well. So it wasn't really a complete surprise when I heard the news last night, but nevertheless, very sad news.
John, a poignant moment last night in Birmingham, Alabama at Rickwood Field. they announced that Willie Mays had died, the fans that were there stood for an ovation and chanted his name.
That was really cool. That really was. And I mean, you know, I know it was a different, not what you usually would, you know, think about when you're mourning somebody's loss, but actually very fitting for one of the greatest players in baseball to obviously be sad, but also to celebrate just what a great player he was. And you know, that's quite a nice send-off for somebody like Willie Mays. And, you know, I don't profess to know Willie Mays. I didn't know him real well. I met him, was fortunate enough to meet him one time in spring training in Arizona. But I got to think that he would have been pretty happy if that's how his, the news of his death was received.
And, John, while we have you, Pirates have a day game in this heat. I was thinking, and Paul, you got tickets to the game. You're kind of on the fence whether you got to go.
It's a coin toss.
This is old school heat, man. You going over to PNC Park, John?
Actually, I can't. I have to go to the doctor's today. Nothing major. Something was already scheduled. But I tell you, it was very hot there the last two nights, so I can imagine what's going to be like in the middle of the afternoon today with the 12:30 start. It's going to be a hot one.
Well, John, I always appreciate your time, and thanks for weighing in. And we'll catch up with you soon.
Oh, you're welcome, Larry. Thanks for having me. It's always good to talk with you.
All right, the Johnny Baseball, John Parrotto, who's a great columnist.
When you see his byline, make time to read. That's what I do.
Yeah, and you know what I love about guys like John is they're passionate about what they do.
Yes.
And it shows in everything he does. And I do remember driving along one morning, this is years ago, and hearing Rob Pratt on KDK saying, "We're going to talk to Johnny Baseball." I think he's the one that nicknamed him Johnny Baseball.
It's a nickname that fits.
Speaking of which, we're going to give you tickets to a Pirates game upcoming in the next half hour against the New York Mets for Hawaiian Shirt Night. You don't have one of those.
No,
I wonder what the giveaway is today over at the Ball Yard. Hopefully it's a hydration stick.
Maybe a wet washcloth.
Hey, we check in with the president and CEO of the Urban League of Greater Pittsburgh, Carlos T. Carter. Carlos, good morning.
Good morning. Very happy Juneteenth.
Juneteenth. This is the third year we have officially celebrated this federal holiday, but it goes back and it's much deeper than that. However, a lot of Americans, as you're aware, a lot of Pittsburghers weren't really up to speed on the details of what Juneteenth meant until fairly recently. So can you explain the historical significance?
Absolutely. So when you think of the traditional 4th of July and was it 1776, you know, when we broke from the British rule, all Americans weren't free. You know, black Americans, some others were still in bondage. And so, and then there was Emancipation Proclamation in 1863 by Lincoln, which freed many slaves, but only in rebel states. People don't realize that. So the Emancipation Proclamation wasn't truly an altruistic act. It was a strategy to disrupt the Confederates, right, to stabilize slavery and hoping that enslaved folks would actually become spies. But still, folks in rebel states like Texas should have been free, but people didn't learn until 2 years later. So again, Emancipation Proclamation in 1863, people in Galveston, Texas, and other areas of Texas weren't free until 2 years later. And so Juneteenth celebrates a more holistic freedom. But the reality is that black people still weren't free. So in Delaware and I think Delaware and another state, Kentucky, people were still enslaved. But total freedom from slavery officially was in December of 1865 with the ratification of the 13th Amendment. A lot of people don't know that. So I think, you know, all of us should celebrate it because it represents a greater freedom, you know, for all Americans, just not certain folks.
So how do you recommend citizens celebrate?
Well, I'd say before I even get that, I just want to say that we still are fighting for freedom, right? There's a lot of DEI bills and things like that and things that to impact people's freedom, freedom for history. So I encourage people to be aware that although we celebrate Juneteenth, there still is a lot of work to do. I'd say there are many ways to celebrate. I know what we did as an Urban League, we participated in Be Montrose Parade last week. We marched in it. We were vendors. We enjoyed the arts and things like that. You can, you know, educate and reflect, I think, to learn in the history a little bit as I'm speaking today. So, like, delve deeply into that. You can find a lot of good information out in our internet, especially at the National, I think it's the National African American Museum. They have great information on their site. I say advocacy and awareness, again, advocating for change, you know, social media campaigns, family activities and gatherings, supporting Black businesses. So it's a number of ways that you can do that. And there's a Fusion Fest, actually, on the 29th. It's a City of Pittsburgh official Juneteenth, and they're having a lot of great things. And yours truly will feature author and speaker from 2:45 p.m. To 3:15 p.m. You can go to JuneteenthFusionFest.com for more information. But I say really reflecting on what it means, fighting for equality, you know, looking for how far we've come, but also that we still have work to do and how we can work to create equity and equality for all people.
I want to share something that the great and late author August Wilson, who's certainly a treasure in this town and across not only the country, the world, in his works. He says, quote, "People look at Black American history and they say, oh, you poor people, what you were subjected to, that's such a horrendous thing. I'm sure you want to forget that." And August Wilson goes on to say, "I say, no, I don't want to forget that because it's a triumph. Black America is a tremendous triumph." August Wilson.
Yeah, I love that quote because I'd say, you know, our history, no matter what race or ethnic background you're, is part of who we are, and that's why it's important that we fight against these anti-DEI campaigns, these anti-true history. I mean, our history is what shapes us. Not that we just want to dwell on negative, but all those things make us who we are. And there's a pride. Yes, there's suffering, but there's character and there's lessons to be learned. And so I think when we deny people, any person's history, you erase the existence of those people. And just because we talked about this on the show before, Larry, something makes people uncomfortable, we'll get over it, right? Think more about the people who went through the thing being uncomfortable than those who are uncomfortable. It's not like making those are opportunities for growth and understanding all of our experience. We all have stories, and we don't have the right to erase anybody's story because you erase those individuals when you work to erase their story, no matter who they are.
Well, on that note, happy Juneteenth to you, Carlos.
Same to you.
Thank you, and
God bless you.
Talk to you next Wednesday.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Carlos T. Carter, President and CEO of the Urban League of Greater Pittsburgh, on the Big K Morning Show. This is the Big K Morning Show, coming up right after the news at 9 with Paul Rasmussen. We have a special request for a former principal of Alderdice High School, which is very famous, as you know, Paul, in these areas, Squirrel Hill area, Greenfield area. And I think what they're doing for this principal is pretty amazing. So we'll let you in on that. Juneteenth. What does that mean to you? Our producer, Aaron Ferragonio, you wanted to speak about what it means to you.
I did. Earlier this week, you had a guest on, and I'm blanking on his name, and he referenced Juneteenth as an American holiday.
Yes, that would be William B. His name is Marshall.
Yes. And that really, really struck a chord with me because I was actually one of those young adult African-American women that just really didn't know that much about Juneteenth. Lynn kind of referenced it yesterday a little bit. And so when it was recognized as a federal holiday and, you know, we started to celebrate it and living up here, you know, down south, they've been celebrating it for a while, but up here, I feel like I didn't know too much. So I began to ask myself, like, what does Juneteenth mean? What does it look like? And it actually took me back to my childhood. Do you want to hear about my childhood, Larry?
Sure. So I know this about you. Your dad was a baseball player at Pitt at one point.
Yes, he was. Yeah. And go ahead.
No, I mean, that's basically all I know about your family life.
Yeah. So my dad, he's also like a really just esteemed scholar, really smart guy, several degrees. And he raised me and my siblings with this mindset. As an African-American woman, boy, you don't walk into a room as if you have, like, in your mind, believing that the rights you have are lesser than anyone else in the room. And he would just raise us that way. He'd say, you know, talk this way, hold your shoulders up. And so when I think about Juneteenth, I loved that he called it an American holiday and that it's not pro-black and anti every other race. It's actually a celebration of a people and a culture who are acknowledging the past. But for me, I get excited about the future. I get excited about, oh my gosh, like, you know, men lost their lives so that I could be free. So I'm actually going to take on the mindset of like a victor versus victim. And victim is kind of a strong word, but you know, me, I see so many celebrations and, you know, African-American people, maybe without realizing it, kind of celebrating it in a way that's almost like, oh, and I get it. Like, oh man, I hate that our people had to go through that. Something so painful, something so brutal. But Viola Davis actually said, Juneteenth means so much to me. It represents the freedom that my ancestors fought so tirelessly for. But rather than focusing on the brutalization of my people then and now, I choose to focus on hope. And I just love that because I think your mindset is actually the beginning of walking something out. So I just kind of wanted to encourage listeners of all ages, like Juneteenth really is a holiday where we can celebrate unity and we can acknowledge what our people went through and take that on victoriously and say, I'm going to walk into a room, shoulders held high, and believe that I have the same rights, even if we're still fighting to see that today.
And I applaud you for that. And how do you feel about people that say, okay, well, let's just forget about that and move on?
I think, you know, kind of what Carlos T. Carter said, and Lynn mentioned it a little bit yesterday. I think, like, look at the history books. In history, a lot of it undocumented, there are a lot of Black historical figures who have literally changed history. One, for example, being Carter G. Woodson, the African-American scholar who literally in 1926 launched Negro History Week, which we now know as Black History Month. And that happened because he pretty much was like, hey, I'm not seeing Black achievements be recognized. I'm not seeing, you know, things that we're doing talked about. So I'm going to do it myself. So I think, you know, and I'm someone who actually loves having these conversations. I never get offended. I think we can always grow from these conversations. So I'd say to them, geez, maybe you should open your mind a little and learn a little bit about history because all races and all tribes have contributed to American history.
I'd like to add this little piece to our conversation, Larry and Aaron. Something that somebody wrote that I read just a few minutes ago. It says, despite our nation's extraordinary founding documents about equality, this country was founded as a slave-owning state. That is our birth defect. But the words in those carefully crafted documents written by great men who were themselves flawed human beings ultimately lit the way toward a more perfect union. In some sense, the history of the United States is a story of striving to make those soaring words, we the people, real to every American.
Boom.
Condoleezza exactly. Rice. Condoleezza Rice.
Yep.
Well, thank you, Aaron. And thank you, Paul.
You got it.